This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, like the legend of the Phoenix.
Here's the reason why.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Mr. Bombastic.
They said,
oh, what a night.
Oh yes, welcome once again. Hello everybody, thank you so much for tuning in right from the beginning of the show that goes like this. Hope your last week's treated you very well. It stayed a bit nippy in the evening, doesn't it? But it's relatively pleasant in the daytimes right now with warmer weather on the horizon. But enough of a weather update. Let's let you know everything that's going on tonight's episode of the show that goes like this. Well, regular features that have happened will be happening again. So if you're tuning in and have been tuning in recent weeks, you can expect to get further updates on the Chocolate Bar World Cup. You can expect to hear another extremely tense Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends around about 7 o'clock today. I'll share with you some celebrity birthdays as well. And you know you're guaranteed great music from a wide variety of genres and artists on this programme because of the themes of the day. What are the themes of today then? Well, it's the 25th of May and there are some wacky holidays that occur on this day. For instance, we have very worthy LGBTQ related pride weeks all over the country. Did you know though, 25th of May is Geek Pride Day. Yeah, we celebrate geeks, whatever that really means. People think of geeks and nerds being the same kind of thing, don't they? Traditionally, people with glasses not socialising very much and getting involved in computers. That's my version of a geek or a nerd. Whether that still means the same, I'm not sure. And whether the glasses are relevant, I don't know. I'm sure you can be a geek or a nerd and have contact lenses or 20/20 vision. So maybe that's a little bit of an outdated view for me there. If you want to let me know what it really means to be a geek or a nerd, then you can message me. There's loads of ways you can get in touch with me on social media. Ben Simmons Radio on Facebook, at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter. And I'm on Instagram as well. So many places. You can even email the station radio at phoenixfm.com as well. Just drop us a line, say hello, let me know anything. I may make requests throughout the show. I've done it on social media in the run-up to the programme, and some people have been incredible researchers for me today. Because the football season finished last weekend, rather happily for me as a Liverpool fan, over the trials and tribulations of the last season. It looked pretty bleak for Liverpool a couple of months ago. And after an incredible run in the last 10 games of 8 wins and 2 draws, we've somehow managed to finish 3rd in the league, qualify for the Champions League, no problems whatsoever, and have much better prospects than we did before. So I'm happy about that. But there will be some interesting football facts throughout this show. I always say, tongue-in-cheek if you like, that I've done exhaustive research in the run-up to this programme. I really have today. I am going to hit you with some football stats to shock the world. So if you like your football, get ready for some interesting stats. But also, not just football related on this programme, you know, loads of other things going on as well. So keep it here, 98.0 FM, phoenixfm.com and available on smart speaker. But we need a track to get us going. It's Geek Pride Day. On the 25th of May. I think they even talk about being geeks in this song. It's a brilliant track. It's one of my favourites. Let's get going with Wheatus.
Two socks, but she doesn't know who I am.
on my block, and he drives a Naira, but he doesn't know who I am, and he doesn't give a damn about me, 'cause I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. Prom night and I am lonely, lo and behold, she's walking over to me, this must be fake, my lip starts to shake, how does she know who I am, and why does she give a damn about,
I've got two tickets to
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And that was Wheatus and the classic Teenage Dirtbag to get us going today on this Tuesday, the 25th of May, which is Geek Pride Day. I was just looking at some notes I made earlier and nearly said Greek Pride Day, which is probably just a day to celebrate being Greek. I don't think it's that day today, although I welcome many Greek listeners from anywhere in the world, wherever they're listening. But it is Geek Pride Day on the 25th of May, so we're celebrating geeks. Ellie from Beckles sent in an official definition of what it means to be a geek. Apparently, an unfashionable or socially inept person. Also, in the US, a performer at a carnival or circus whose show consists of bizarre or grotesque acts. Didn't think about that too much, really. But thanks very much for sending that in, Ellie from Beckles. Fabulous. And also, very quickly, Ron Wilmot, who likes to send in quips to the programme, sent in, I said about geeks wearing glasses, and he said, people call me Four Eyes, not because I wear glasses, they remember a difficult set of tiles at Scrabble. Lovely. Cheers, Ron. Great stuff. thanks for sending that in. I'm going to wait until we're a couple more tracks into the show to hit you with the interesting football facts, but they've interested me. Oh, yes. Later on in the programme, we may be able to squeeze in some celebrity birthdays as well. And there will be, in the second hour of the show, information about the Chocolate Bar World Cup, which is well underway now. The first quarter final has been completed. If you're not on Twitter, you won't know what's happened. It was the Boost versus the Fries Chocolate Cream going on all week this week. Results to be revealed in the second hour of the show. And I will remind you about the second quarterfinal, which has now started and will be running for the following week. We'll build up into a veritable frenzy by the time the Euros are reaching their conclusion as well. And the Chocolate Bar World Cup will conclude in the same week as the Euros. It's all been meticulously planned. Don't say happy accident at all. There was nothing like that. Oh, no, it was just meticulously planned. Right, moving on, swiftly as possible. We need another track. We need a geek-related track. It's Bare Naked Ladies. It's 1 week. That even rhymes with geek.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocktail into the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me. Saying, get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room. I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me. But it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I want to hoodwink. Does it make you stop think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish. Although I like the shallot sweets, I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bird campers got the mad hits. You try to match wits. You try to hold me but I bust through. Can I make a break and take a pick? I like a sink and ache and shake. I like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors. Gonna see the show cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go. Cause it's so dangerous you'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, well you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Threw your up in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me. I still got the red burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon. You realize it's not my fault, but a moment too soon. Yesterday you'd forgiven me. And now I'll sit back and wait till you say you're sorry.
Chinese chicken, you have a drumstick and your brain stops sticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all our maisons. I hope the Smoky Man's in this one like Harrison Ford. I'm getting frantic, like Sting a pen trick. Like Stinker's guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better clubs, gonna find the kind with tiny enough to so my arms aren't always flying off the backswing. Gonna get into my Sailor Moon, cause that cartoon has got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, but you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of losing my shirt.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes to the sides and said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said you just did just what I thought you were gonna do. 3 days since the living room. We realized we're both to blame, but what could we do? Yesterday, you just smiled at me. Cause it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. It'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. It'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Let's try stadium home on the rally.
Phoenix FM.
So that was Bare Naked Ladies and 1 week. Not quite as exciting a song as the band name would suggest. They did the theme tune to The Big Bang Theory as well, didn't they? Which I always remember. Makes me think of the name of that group. Good name if you want a group to catch attention, I guess. I think that was bound to do it. I'm itching to share with you my football facts, which I found out through being a slight geeky statistician myself. I've always enjoyed stats, and I've created some stats to share with you on this programme, and I will be sharing them online as well later in the week, because it's interesting. And also, thanks to my wonderful researchers out there, the likes of Barbara Ferry, who's done amazing work in the run-up to this show, Paul Milton, who's equally done amazing work as well, I'm going to share with you some celebrity football fans for all 20 of this season's Premier League teams. I realise 3 teams have now been officially relegated, but as far as I'm concerned, it only finished 2 days ago. They are still Premier League teams till the next season begins. So, yeah, all 20 Premier League teams, you're going to hear at least 3 celebrity fans from each team. Did you know them? Some of them I tried to find ones that weren't quite so well known. Some are well known and you can't avoid them because they're huge celebrities and it's worth mentioning. So, yeah, some more interesting things going on the show that goes like this. It's always worth tuning in. Educational, exciting and ridiculous is how I've been described in the past, and I like to bring that to the show as well. Anyway, thanks for being here. Spread the word about the show. Tell everybody to tune in and then get themselves on social media. Get interactive. Get a mention on the airwaves. It's always fabulous. And as ever, around about 7 o'clock, we will have our 12th BicLol competitor this evening. Who on earth will be on the end of the phone line tonight? It could be you in the future. Oh, yes. someone has already been approached, and they are waiting excitedly, I'm sure, for the next 23 minutes. Well, that will be 20 minutes before it happens. They're only excited for 23 minutes, then they're calm. You know, they just managed to get those nerves completely calmed, no problem whatsoever. Anyway, yeah, 42 minutes now until BicLol. But so much happening before that and after that, so don't go anywhere. But we need our final geek-related music in this show, at least. And I think someone had a bit of a geeky look. I've got glasses a bit like him. If you're on the webcam feed, I urge you to do that. I know Paul Milton's there again. Hello to Paul. You can go to mixcloud.com, search for Phoenix FM, and get the live video stream into the studio and see what's actually going on. And if you sign up to a Mixcloud account, you can join us in the chat facility there as well. But I know Paul's done that, and my glasses are like the person that this song is about. This person did release many songs in the 50s, but it's not about him. It's not by him, I mean, it is about him. Just stop rambling and play the song. This is Weezer with Buddy Holly. I'm slightly sorry. What's with these homies dissing my girl?
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Okay, time to hit you up with some football facts. Just before I do, that was Weezer and Buddy Holly that I was rambling about. Before I get into this, so what have I been doing this week? Well, the Football League season finished, and I've always had a bit of an issue with teams kind of getting a very rich benefactor chairman slash group of investors or whatever, and then elevating their status. So not through play, through having money. And these days I do appreciate every single team spends a lot of money, and there is so much money in football. All the Premier League teams are extremely wealthy, except the ones that get relegated or they carry on getting parachute payments. So there's a handful of Championship teams and most of the Premier League teams incredibly, incredibly wealthy. And I do appreciate, I support a team called Liverpool who have spent extremely large amounts of money over the years. But It's interesting when you just take this into account. You may have heard, if you're a football fan, of teams' transfer business net spend. Their net spend on transfers. What am I going on about there? Well, I'm going on about if you take all the money they spent on signing players and took away all the money they recouped from selling players, the amount of money that's left is their net spend. And of all the teams in the Premier League, nobody has ended up with a minus figure, as in they've recouped more money than they've spent. But some have spent very little. And when you think about where they finished in the league table relative to their net spend on transfers, it's quite interesting. So I'm going to share some of that information with you right now, because I think listeners are interested in this kind of thing. Those ones that are football fans, anyway. If you're not, still stay here. There will be other things going on throughout the show. But, yeah, and I do also understand there are external factors. It's not simply a great indicator of all the finances at a football club, just their transfer net spend. Clearly, some teams have saved money because they've been building new stadiums, or they have things going on in the community, or they have lots of commercial deals that bring in lots more money to the club as well. But I've just focused on their transfer net spend. Clearly, Manchester City, with a nation's wealth behind them, are the highest spenders in the Premier League. And this is a transfer net spend average, or not an average, a total over the last five seasons. So over the last five seasons, it gives you an idea. The team that spent the most, Man City, £568 million net spend. So they've spent that much more than they've recouped, £568 million. Second, Manchester United, £498 million. And they were the top two in the Premier League this season, so kind of makes sense that finances and being wealthy do give you a better chance of doing well. However, third in the league, net spend, Arsenal, £308 million, and they only finished eighth in the league this season. Is it a blip or is it a downward spiral? Who knows, but they've spent an awful lot of money. I know they saved a lot of money and didn't spend a lot on transfers. So only including the last 5 years, maybe a little bit harsh on Arsenal because there was the building of the Emirates Stadium and they weren't spending a lot of money on transfers when that was happening. So maybe they've got some left in the kitty and they're splashing out a little bit now. But anyway, £308 million net spend over the last 5 years. Fourth, Chelsea, £262 million. When you think of all the players they signed, bear in mind they did have sanctions on them, didn't they, where they weren't allowed to bring in any players for two transfer windows, so that stopped them spending a lot of money. Otherwise they could have been even higher. I suspect they would have been higher than Arsenal, but £262 million. Anyway, what I'm getting at, they're the top four. Fifth in the Premier League is Everton with a net spend of £255.7 million, and they only finished 10th this year, so a little bit disappointing. I'll give you more figures later, but basically what I'm getting at, Liverpool are 12th in this list with a net spend of £119 million. And Liverpool are behind Tottenham, West Ham, Wolves, Brighton, Fulham, and only £4 million more than Sheffield United. So I think Liverpool are doing quite well relative to, other teams who spend a lot more money on transfers. Anyway, maybe I'll just give us a break to have another song, then we'll get into my more exciting football stats afterwards. And as well as Geek Pride Week, it's other wacky holidays occurring on the 25th of May. For instance, did you know it's Tap Dance Day today? Yes, so get your tap shoes on, get ready to click-clack to all the tracks that are coming up. Now, there aren't that many tracks that lead themselves to tap dancing, but there's a lot of tracks that are about dancing in general, so feel free to tap to them or jive to them or do modern or jazz or what other styles there are, contemporary. You know, all kinds of dance, but it is Tap Dance Day on the 25th of May, so I hope you've enjoyed your tap dancing. Little Mix enjoy all kinds of dancing. They just don't want you to stand still, basically. Go on, Little Mix. What do you want people to do? Mm-hmm.
Don't you back off the wall. Don't you get comfortable. Looking so hot, I think that I might fall. Feel like it's my birthday. Like Christmas Day came early. Just what I want, so when we move, you move. Get your back off the wall. Don't you get comfortable. Looking so hot, I think that I might fall. Feeling like it's my birthday. Like Christmas Day came early. Just what I want, so when we move, you move.
Great track, that Little Mix and Move, yes, on the 25th of May, which also happens to be Tap Dancing Day. I did enjoy the Fast Show when I was growing up. I did enjoy the Arthur Atkinson segments. A bit of him. One of his supposed old films with Paul Whitehouse as Arthur Atkinson, and he's in a park or a sort of picnic area covered in grass, and he gets up and starts tap dancing, supposedly to music that's playing over the top, which would be impossible, of course, tap dancing on grass. Very amusing. You can find all the Arthur Atkinson segments on YouTube if you do a quick search. Very good if you enjoyed that kind of thing. Now, let me carry on with my football stats. Indulge me for a moment. So we're talking about transfer net spend. I did the top five. I'll carry on. So fifth was Everton, 255.7 million. Sixth, Aston Villa, 254 million. Seventh, Wolves, 214 million. This is net spend over the last 5 years, remember. Then 8th, Tottenham, 204 million. 9th, Brighton, 200.5 million. I was surprised by that. Feel they should be doing better, having spent that much money net over the last 5 years on transfers. And they only finished 16th in this year's league, but the 9th highest spenders. 200 million, Brighton. 10th, West Ham, 170 million. 11th, Fulham. Incredible, considering they're a bit of a yo-yo team, aren't they? Up, down, but Fulham, 144 million net spend. 11th biggest in the league, but relegated. Then Liverpool, 12th, 119 million. Sheffield United, 13th, 115 million. Didn't save them. Then 14th, Leicester, 92 million. Considering they finished 5th, massive overachievers, bearing in mind their financial capability. Anyway, yeah, 14th Leicester, 92 million. 15th Leeds, 82 million. And they finished 9th as well, so they've done pretty well. 16th, desperately trying to find 16th on my list. There we go, Newcastle, 66 million. Bit of a drop now, transfer net spend. These teams, when you think, all right, £66 million is not a small amount of money, is it? But to football clubs, and when you consider the opposite end of the table, and that Manchester City are operating with over half a billion net spend, and Manchester United very close to half a billion, Newcastle in the same amount of time spending 66 million. Yes, they've been down in the Championship for one season, but yeah, even so, not too bad, I guess. They finished 16th highest spenders in the league, but finished 12th. So yeah, it's stuff like this. I enjoy all these kind of stats. West Brom, 62 million net spend, 17th highest in the league, but finished 19th. Next, Burnley, 59 million net spend in 18th in the net spend table. And then 19th in the net spend table is Crystal Palace, 56 million. And look at this. 20th in the net spend table. I was shocked. Who haven't I mentioned yet? Southampton. A net transfer spend in the last 5 years of just £22 million. And, yeah, they have struggled a couple of times in recent seasons, but they've also done respectably. So, yeah, maybe they're overachieving. But I've got an interesting maths formula to tell you about after the next track. It's probably a bit complicated for radio. I need to put it on the blog page afterwards when this goes out tomorrow morning on the catch-up service. I think I'll explain it all there in greater detail. But in the meantime, it's Tap Dance Day. We're playing a lot of tracks that encourage people to dance, such as this one, which tells you basically if you dance, you'll feel good. That's what Meghan Trainor says she does.
Don't think about it, just move your body. Listen to the music, sing oh, eh, oh. Just move those left feet, go ahead, get crazy. Anyone can do it, sing oh, eh, oh. Show the world you got that fire. I feel better when I'm dancing, yeah, yeah. Better when I'm dancing, yeah, yeah. And we can do this together. I bet you feel better when you're dancing.
When I'm dancing.
Phoenix FM.
I love that track as well, Meghan Trainor, Better When I'm Dancing. I've had another message from Maria on the Isle of Wight telling me about, I just played a track by Little Mix, and Little Mix heavily linked with the world of football. Yes, because one of them is going out with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think engaged now, aren't they, having a baby? I don't think they're married. Is it Perry is with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Not sure. But Maria was reminding me of the story of Leanne Pinnock, who's dating Watford's Andre Gray, and she lost a £40,000 engagement ring. Oh dear. That's a bit of a shame. I'm sure you'll agree. But yeah, so Little Mix. They like footballers in Little Mix, don't they? Fair enough. Now, final bit about my football stats that I'm trying to explain over the radio. Another thing I did is work out, and this sounds a bit weird, but bear with me, expected league finish based on financial capability. I worked out for each team by dividing their transfer net spend by their average league position over the last 5 years. And then you get a score, and then you can rank teams based on their score, and it tells you where they ought to have finished in the table based on their financial capability and historical previous league positions. And then you can see how well they've done this season based on what is expected of them. So Man City should finish first. Simple as that. Man United should finish second. Chelsea should finish third, but finished fourth. Little bit of underachievement there. Arsenal should finish fourth, but finished eighth. Tottenham should finish fifth, but finished seventh. Liverpool should finish sixth, but finished third. Everton should finish seventh, but finished tenth. Underachievement from Everton. West Ham should finish eighth, but finished sixth. Wolves should be 9th, but were 13th. Little bit of a letdown for Wolves. Brighton should have been 10th, but were 16th. Big underachievement from Brighton, related to finances. Leicester should have been 11th, but were 5th. Best overachievers, I think. Aston Villa should have been 12th, were 11th. Fulham should have been 13th, but 18th, and relegated. And based on their finances, should have been well safe from relegation. So that's a shame. Newcastle should have been 14th or 12th, so they'll be happy. Burnley should have been 15th or 17th. A little bit of underachievement for Burnley. Sheffield United should have been 16th, should have been safe, but were 20th and adrift and down. Palace should have been 17th or 14th. Leeds... Oh, this is the biggest overachievement. Leeds should have been 18th, were 9th. 9 places higher than their financial capability. And West Brom should have been 19th, were 19th. So that works. And, well, here we go. Southampton should have been 20th and ended up 15th. I'll put all this on my blog if you're in any way interested in football finances and previous finishes. So, yeah, I found it interesting. I've heavily ensconced myself in the world of football from a very young age, and I love stats as well, stuff like that. Interesting. Keep an eye on my blog from tomorrow morning, and I'll put something on there to help you enjoy it. Let's have another track, then I'm going to start sharing celebrity football fans with you, and then we're not very far away from BicLol for this week. 17 and a half minutes, something like that. The excitement's building, isn't it? Oh yes, I know I'm excited. I'm sure you are too. I'm sure the person doing it, their breath is bated as we speak. Even on Tap Dancing Day, I'm sure they don't feel like dancing. Oh, here's a track to celebrate.
Yeah.
Phoenix FM.
Another great track. They've got me going, these tracks tonight. You can probably see on the webcam how much I was enjoying that. There was even some miming to it. You can enjoy that if you go to mixcloud.com, search for Phoenix FM. You'll find the feed into our studio, have a Mixcloud account, and you can join in the chat on the side as well. Feel free to do that. But you can get in touch with me all the other ways as well, at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter, which you need if you want to vote in the Chocolate Bar World Cup, and Ben Simmons Radio on Facebook, and you can even email us radio@phoenixfm.com as well. Now then, before I get into more interesting celebrity things about which football teams they support, let's do the old chestnut of celebrity birthdays. Well, it's the 25th of May, and that means these people are probably celebrating today. Paul Weller is 63. Austin Powers actor Mike Myers is 58 today. Peaky Blinders star Cillian Murphy is 45. Game of Thrones actress Esme Bianco is 39 today. Johnny Wilkinson of World Cup winning rugby legend fame is 42 today. Is that all? Seems like he ought to be older, but he's 42. Sir Ian McKellen is 82 today, and presenter Anthea Turner is 61. And if it's your birthday, many happy returns. Those were your celebrity birthdays for the 25th of May. If I've missed anyone out, feel free to message me on Facebook, on Twitter, on email, anywhere. Send a carrier pigeon, send smoke signals. Although I have to be a very specific area that I can see out of the window of our studios here. But, you know, if you're that dedicated, then you could go for it. So, what was I going to do in this section of the show? Well, to take us up to Bic Lol, there will be a couple more tracks as well, but I'm going to start sharing with you some celebrity fans from different football teams. And then once Bic Lol's happened, I'll share with you the exhaustive research that a couple of my leg-end listeners have done for me today, the fabulous Barbara Ferry and Paul Milton. There may be some others as well by now, but I know they've done a lot. And some of the information I'm about to give, they may have done as well. But here are three celebrity fans of each of the teams in the Premier League. Right. Sheffield United, I'm going in reverse order. Sheffield United, Sean Bean, Kel Brook, Jessica Ennis-Hill. Quite good. West Brom, Lenny Henry, Joe Lycett and Liam Payne. There you go. I bet you didn't know some of these. That's what I like about this. Fulham, Emily Maitlis, Hugh Grant, Richard Osman. I like this, celebrity fans of each team. It's working well for me. One of the next ones seems a bit incongruous. Seems a bit, really? But apparently it's true. Burnley. Alistair Campbell. Not a problem. Jimmy Anderson. Not a problem. Snoop Dogg. Really? Of all the Premier League teams, he supports Burnley. Does he? I always get suspicious of Americans saying they're football fans because, you know, they've got the NFL over there, they've got basketball, they've got baseball, they've even got ice hockey to some extent, although that's more popular in Canada. But, you know, are they that bothered about the Premier League? I know LeBron James is. He's invested in Liverpool. But, yeah, anyway, I'll take it. Snoop Dogg, Burnley. Right, I'm going to do the top 10. The first 10, so the bottom 10. Why have I got myself into this? That was 2019, 18 and 17. 16th was Brighton. Fatboy Slim, you probably knew that. Rag and Bone Man, maybe you didn't know that. Jamie Theakston, I didn't know that. Southampton, Craig David, yes, everyone knows that. Chris Packham and Lucy Pinder. Crystal Palace, Eddie Izzard, Joe Brand, Bill Wyman. Okay. Three to go, then we'll have a track. Wolves, Robert Plant, Eric Idle, Beverly Knight. Newcastle, Gabby Logan, Anton Deck. Yes, it's two people. You could have them on their own. Tony Blair. I was surprised by these. And then finally in this segment, Aston Villa, Prince William, Tom Hanks, Ozzy Osbourne. I'd like to be in the director's box when they're all at Villa Park for a home game. In the meantime, on Tap Dance Day, let's just shut up and dance, all right?
don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said,
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Oh yes, that was Walk the Moon with Shut Up and Dance. And now carrying on my exhaustive research, much of which has not been done by me today, into celebrity football fans in the Premier League this year, or the season just gone. So what else can I share with you? We're into the top 10 teams now. Remember, it's three celebrity fans from each team so far. And then after we've done Bicklow, we'll look at other teams, other celebrity fans of various teams. But anyway, 10th place, Everton. Genuine celebrity fans of Everton: Mary Berry, Dame Judi Dench, Tony Blackburn. Okay, Leeds: Sir Nick Faldo, Nasser Hussain, Jeremy Paxman. Arsenal: Idris Elba, Mick Jagger, Piers Morgan. Tottenham: Craig David, Kenneth Branagh, Joe Wiley. There we go. West Ham: Katy Perry. That's another one that makes me go, really? But Katy Perry, apparently. James Corden, knew that. Ray Winston, think I knew that. Right, top five: Leicester, David Attenborough, Engelbert Humperdinck, and wait for it, Basil Brush. That's a good one. Chelsea: Stephen Hendry, Ed Sheeran, Will Ferrell. Is that true with Ed Sheeran? I doubt that, because I think he's a staunch Ipswich fan. Hasn't he just sponsored Ipswich Football Club? And they're going to have names of his albums on their shirts. But anyway, apparently, according to some research, he supports Chelsea. Liverpool. Daniel Craig. I knew that. Liam Neeson. I'd forgotten that. Mike Myers. I knew that. It was his birthday as well. Happy birthday, Mike. Man United. Usain Bolt. Steve Coogan. Rory McIlroy. And Man City. Noel Gallagher. Everyone knows that. Ricky Hatton. A lot of people know that. Timothy Dalton. If you knew, maybe you'd forgotten that. There we go. Some interesting football fans, celebrities of current Premier League teams. I found that interesting, and I'm not done there. Thanks to Paul Milton and Barbara Ferry, I'll be sharing many more of those after Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends. But before we can do that, we've got to have a song to lead up to it. The tension is ramping up in the studio and to whoever's on the end of the phone. In the meantime, while we all prepare for BicLol this week, let's get going with Whitney Houston. She wants to dance with anybody.
Somebody.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And that was Whitney with the classic, I Wanna Dance With Somebody. And yes, I did say it just before we went to Whitney, what was coming next? Everybody knows. It's the sheer excitement and tension of Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends.
Not true. That's impossible.
And the person waiting desperately on the phone line to take part this week is an absolute legend himself. Let's say hello to the fabulous David Jackson Mayo.
Good evening.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm very good. How the heck are you?
I'm all right. I'm a bit nervous about taking part in Dick Lowell, but I'm up for it.
Well, I'm glad you've used the acronym straight away, which is good.
I only deal with acronyms.
Nice work. Now, I don't know if you were hearing too much of the show before we went to Bicklow, but obviously I did some of my football stats, and I thought we'd just have a little bit of a chat before we do anything serious with the quiz. But I know you're a huge football fan like I am.
I am.
And we've known each other many years, and we've had debates because I'm a Liverpool fan, you're a Chelsea fan. There's been a bit of a rivalry over the years. How do you feel about Chelsea at the end of the season? I mean, you got the excitement of the Champions League final to come. That's a heck of an achievement.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is very exciting. But unfortunately, at the moment, I just don't know which Chelsea team are going to turn up. And, I feel like we sort of do a lot of the game right. We do the possession part right.
Yeah.
But we don't seem to be able to do the putting the ball in the back of the net bit right, which is quite frustrating, as that is the actual aim of the game. So, it's incredibly frustrating to watch, because we have a manager who talks about stats a lot and says, you know, well, by the stats, we should have won the game. And, we just need to realise that stats don't win games, goals do.
Definitely.
If we play as well as we have done in the previous two meetings against City on Saturday, then I actually think, you know what, I think we've got a chance. I don't think someone out there would be foolish for putting, you know, a £5 bet on. but do gamble responsibly. But
thanks for that. And not save me doing
no
it. Nice
no.
work. Nice work.
They wouldn't ask me to say that.
It's interesting with Chelsea. Sometimes you get to play Man City in a final and you just feel like they're going to blow someone away. Wasn't it Watford got the FA Cup final against them recently, or it might have been the League Cup, and lost 6-0 or something, and you just knew they were going to get destroyed? And they played Southampton not very long ago in a cup final, and you're like, yeah, Man City are obviously going to win. They need to have something ridiculous happen, like a sending off or massive off form day. But with Chelsea being in that final against them, firstly, it almost doesn't feel like a European final. I know they've got to now go to Portugal. It could have been Turkey or whatever. So you do have the travel element. But playing another English team in a final, even in the Champions League final, I felt a bit like that with Liverpool and Tottenham. It felt like it could be another game, any other game, you know. And Chelsea have had the edge over Man City this season, which is exciting for Chelsea fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a shame that it's an all... you know, it's great for English football that it's an all-English final.
Yeah.
But as a spectacle, I agree. I think that magic of playing a team from another country and, you know, it is great. But it's almost like by playing it in Portugal but having two English teams, it's like all of the inconvenience of a European Cup final, but without the excitement of, of two teams that don't really know each other that well.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, City absolutely could blow us away. But equally, we could get a very, you know, cagey 1-0 win.
So, yeah, totally.
Hoping for the more boring option, which was option two there. Obviously.
That's the thing, isn't it? People, neutrals always want it to be a crazy 4-3 or something like that, and a last minute goal. But if you're a fan of any of the teams in it, you'd take a winning on penalties any day, wouldn't you? A 0-0 game.
To be honest, it's quite echoes of the 2012 final against Bayern Munich. You know, we kind of fought through that tournament and without really setting the world alight, but we just did enough in every round. And, you know, there was a lot of things, you know, I don't know if you're aware of some of the stats that have been similar to then. For instance, that was the last time, I believe, that the FA Cup was played before the end of the Premier League season, was 2012, and it's happened again this season.
Oh, right,
And things like that. And, you know, we're clutching at straws, aren't we? We're sort of saying, well, that if that happened, then we must win. But we forget we don't have Didier Drogba anymore. So.
Well, that's one thing that's weird about Chelsea. I mean, you signed so many players last summer, obviously after the transfer embargo was lifted, and you had all the money from Hazard, so you had to spend some money. But there was a load of great players. I was like, wow. And obviously people appreciate it takes time for players to gel. But I reckon next season, Chelsea have got a really good chance. If Werner can start firing, because he is a great striker, if he can find form. It seems like Havertz took a while and has found form, but then players that have come through as well, like Mason Mount, looking really good now. Were you sad with Lampard having to leave? Are you glad Tuchel's there? Or, I mean, I guess many Chelsea fans just wanted it to work with Frank Lampard, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that is exactly it. I mean, I remember saying at the time, if that had been, you know, a foreign manager that we weren't really familiar with, or not even, to be fair, not even a foreign manager, just a manager that didn't have that connection with the club.
Yeah.
I think you'd absolutely be saying, oh, come on, like, results aren't good, getting out, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas because it was Frank Lampard, there was that desire to sort of give him that chance. And, yeah, I was gutted when he went, but I kind of understood.
Yeah.
Kind of understood why.
Well, it was I was a bit sorry for him in that he went, and you kind of think, well, what are Chelsea going to do now? They got Tuchel in, and then he was unbeaten for 3 months or something, wasn't he?
When I know. Exactly, that didn't help Frank's cause much, did it, really? But,
No,
I mean, listen, you can't argue with the job that Tuchel's doing, but, I don't get excited watching them at the moment. I just find them a bit, but let's hope, you know, let's give him a pre-season and work with these players and get that kind of philosophy across. And
could be a big Premier League season next year. City will obviously be good, but they've lost Aguero. Not that he's featured all that much this season. You would assume with their defence back intact, Liverpool can mount a challenge again. Chelsea, if all their players are firing, can mount a challenge. United, if they get a couple of signings, that it could, you know, you could get a genuine 4 or 5 teams in the race for the title, which is always good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it was great to see, you know, you can't discount it, but Leicester, I mean, Leicester are kind of always there or thereabouts now, aren't they? They're always around the top 5, top 6.
Yeah, what I love about...
for them, were top 4 most of the season, but just fell away.
What I love about Leicester is, I was just talking before about all the sort of transfer net spends, and, you know, you'd expect the teams with the most money to finish highest.
Yeah.
And then they did have that genuinely miraculous season.
Yeah.
You know, and it's totally elevated their club to a different level for forever now, and I love that. I love that there's a chance for someone, and no one can really explain how it happened. I remember listening to Talk Sport the summer they brought in Ranieri, because they'd almost been relegated and Nigel Pearson had saved them, and then he had weird goings on in Thailand with his squad and stuff, and then he left. And they got Ranieri in, and I remember them saying on Talk Sport what a terrible appointment it was as manager for Ranieri to come in, and they were certain to get relegated. And it wasn't even that they didn't get relegated, it was like they actually won the league from nowhere. It was unbelievable. And has totally changed their chances now. They're so much richer as a club, you know. And
it's just a belief, isn't there, now in that club? I think they just think that, you know, they absolutely can do it. And
everyone
says they've built on it sensibly. They've built into that squad sensibly. I think they've not gone and bought anybody who's, you know, they haven't gone and bought like a Paul Pogba type figure
You
know, someone who's just going to sort of dominate the headlines. They've gone and bought decent sort of talent. I mean, Tielemans, I think, is a great, you know, I think he's a good midfielder.
And people can remember... that they were 5,000-1 to win the league in that summer. But I wonder what odds you would have got the previous season when they were 5 games away from relegation. If you'd have said, can I bet on them to win the league next year? You'd have got 10,000-20,000-1 or something, probably.
Absolutely.
Anyway, listen, Dave, I could talk to you about football all day, and maybe I'll get you in to do a football special or something, because that'd be amazing. But we have to do this quiz.
Well,
let's just be crazy and sack it off and just do football chat for a few hours. Ben's Impossible Question, League of Legends. People look forward to it now around about the 7 o'clock mark during the show that goes like this. Now, I know, just to say to the listeners as ever, and to make sure you're familiar with it, there's 3 questions. The first question has the highest margin of error, where the answer could be up to 10,000.
Yeah.
Second question, slightly lower. The answer can be up to 1,000.
Yeah.
And third question, you have a chance of getting it right, I suppose. The answer's somewhere between 0 and 20. So you are the 12th person to ever attempt BitClole. No one's ever got the third question exactly right. No one's ever got any question exactly right. I mean, it is supposed to be impossible, but you never know. I've got hopes for you, Dave.
So. I mean, all I've learned from that is that there's 11 people you like more than me. But that's okay.
It's no reflection on that whatsoever. Yeah, I love that. You get called up. You're the 77th person to attempt BitClole. Mm. Like, yeah, I haven't spoken to you for 40 years. Cheers, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, Ken Bruce wouldn't do that on Popmaster.
So. I don't mean I tried 11 people before I got through to you. You know, anyway, let's not dwell on that. Are you ready to take on the challenge?
Absolutely not. Yeah, no, let's do it.
Marvellous. Right, I'm going to play the tense music jingle that accompanies it just to ramp up the pressure slightly, and then we'll go for it. Okay? And all the questions are slightly tailored to things I know about you, just to make it a bit more interesting for you.
Oh, crikey.
Whether that helps or not, I don't know.
Okay.
Let's do it. It's time for BitClole. Right, good luck, Dave. Question one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're a drummer.
Oh, right, yeah.
The oldest drum ever discovered is the alligator drum. What year BC does this type of drum date back to? So it can't be any higher than 10,000 BC, but what year BC does the alligator drum date back to?
Obviously a complete stab in the dark, isn't it? I'm going to say, you know, the first number that came in my head, and I'm going to be, I could potentially be so far out because I'm going nearer one end of this thing.
Oh, it's a risk.
It is a risk. I'm going to say 468 BC.
468. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Question two.
Mm.
When I first met you, you lived in South Benfleet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we performed together at the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah.
I love the dread in your voice.
I'm terrible with mileage, yeah.
If you know what's coming. If you were to drive the fastest route from South Benfleet to Edinburgh, just one way, Benfleet to Edinburgh, how many miles would you have driven?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is so embarrassing.
It's meant to be difficult, you know. It's no.
And what is it? What's my range?
What, South Benfleet to Edinburgh?
No. What did you say? It's between.
Oh well, it won't be any higher than 1,000, but zero to 1,000.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to guess it's not zero. I'm going to guess it's not 1,000. I'm going to say then that it is. 612.
Ooh, 612. Okay. Question three. Now, we...
Oh, what? Sorry, that was a terrible answer. I've just realised what I said. It's definitely not that, but go on. You've locked it in. That's fine.
Well, you can change it if you want to. I've never let anyone change an answer before, but as it's you, well, if you can do it quickly, you can
450.
Change... 450. Okay.
Yeah.
That may cause concern amongst previous competitors if you're near the top of the league. But anyway... question three.
Yeah.
We performed together in a theatre in London called The Pleasance. The nearest tube to that is Caledonian Road. We also performed at the White Bear Theatre. The nearest tube to that is Kennington.
Yeah.
If you were to travel on the tube between Caledonian Road and Kennington, what is the smallest number of stops you could make? I don't know if you know this. Caledonia Road on the Piccadilly line. Kennington's on the Northern line. Don't know if that helps.
So the fewest number of stops.
Yeah. From Caledonia Road to Kennington. And it's only, you know, 1 to 20. So who knows?
11.
Oh, he's gone for 11. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm pleased to tell you, we will do the answers in a minute, but at the moment, Dave Jackson Mayo, for you, BitClole is over.
Oh, thank you.
Now, a lot of people say they do feel the tension while that music's on, while the question's being asked. But I thought you coped with it quite well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really hard, isn't it? I mean, you need to sell this idea to Waddington. It's great.
To Waddington's, yeah. I like it. I'd forgotten about Waddington's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Now, I just have to do a bit of maths to work out how well you've done.
Okay. Didn't take long.
Right, hang on. There we go. And there we go. Right. Oh, I haven't got my live league table up as well. Now I need to get my live BitLol league table up to see how well you've done, to see where you come in the table.
Okay.
I need to go online. Oh, it's all gone violently wrong for me. You used to think I'd have prepared this as a presenter.
Yeah, but I know you, Ben. That's right.
Right, now, if I click on that, it ought to give me links. Yes! Don't panic, I can get the league table up. Everything's fine. Right. So, question one was, the alligator drum is the oldest drum ever discovered. What year BC does it date back to? You said 468 BC. You said you were dangerously going one end rather than the other. Yeah. It was kind of the right end, I suppose, but the correct answer, 2750 BC.
Okay.
So, minus 2282 on that answer, which isn't terrible, I will admit.
Mm-hmm.
Then, question two, mileage South Benfleet to Edinburgh.
Mm.
You controversially had an answer of over 600, changed it to 450.
Yeah.
And got a much more respectable answer, because the answer's 417 miles.
Oh. Right, okay.
So 33
out. I've gone too low on the 450.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, okay.
I did, yeah.
Okay, but it's only one way, see? So maybe if I'd have said two ways, that would have been harder.
Well, it probably would have been double, wouldn't it?
It really would, yeah. Right, question three. Caledonian Road to Kennington, Piccadilly Line to Northern Line, shortest number of stops. You said 11. You can do it in 9 stops.
Oh, okay.
But that gives you a respectable total of minus 2,318, which I can reveal puts you in 6th place, sort of solid mid-table, if
I'll
you like.
That.
So you haven't disgraced yourself in any way whatsoever.
That's all. That's how I look at every day. If I get home at the end of each day and think, have I disgraced myself? No, then I can sleep easy.
And your wife says to you, Dave, have you had a good day? And you say, darling, I haven't disgraced myself.
If I could have it on a headstone, that would be ideal. I didn't disgrace myself.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now, another thing I do on my show, I'm just going to get your view on this before you go as an insight, is the Chocolate Bar World Cup, which has been going on. So I've found 32 chocolate bars, put them in 8 groups of 4, and then the group winners only went through to the knockout stages, which started this week.
Okay.
So we had quarterfinal one was a Boost versus a Fry's Chocolate Cream. I haven't revealed to the listeners who's won yet, but the poll has finished. But if you had to choose between a Boost and a Fry's Chocolate Cream, what would you go for?
Difficult. I know. Do you know what?
You may
I know
hate them both. You may love them both. You know, but you've got to choose one or the other.
My mum would definitely go for a Fry's Chocolate Cream. She loves them.
I love a Fry's Chocolate Cream.
Yeah. I don't know. I would never buy one for myself. So there, on that basis, and I would buy a Boost, I guess.
Right, there you go.
I'd say a Boost.
Okay.
It wouldn't be my first choice.
That is the one that's finished. Quarterfinal 2 is now running this week, so you could influence the vote here.
Okay.
Quarterfinal 2 is a Dairy Milk Caramel, formerly known as just Cadbury's Caramel, versus a Mars bar.
Well, I actually think that caramels have changed slightly, and that not only just the name, I don't think they're quite as good as they were.
Ooh.
Otherwise, that was always a bit of a go-to, but I think I'm going to say Mars, purely based on the fact that it does help you work, rest and play. I think that's been scientifically proven. I'm not sure.
I think you may have been taken in by some sort of marketing ploy there. But
whereas with Cadbury's Caramel, all you can do is take it easy.
Yeah, and think of a weird, sexy rabbit, which is bizarre. Yeah, that was a bizarre thing when you were growing up, wasn't it? It was like, it's a rabbit, I shouldn't like it, but it's got an interesting voice.
Some people, So can I ask what else has made it through?
You can, yeah. The other quarterfinals is Crunchy versus Milky Bar.
Okay.
And the surprise one in the top eight, Nestle Crunch versus a Snickers. So, you know, so many...
a really odd mix.
So many great chocolate bars didn't make it. You think of, like, a Picnic, an Aero, a Topic, I don't know, Toblerone didn't make it.
I'm thinking Toffee Crisp, Whisper Gold.
Yeah, you know, they didn't make it. They weren't top of the group. Some of them might have been second, and in, you know, football tournaments they'd have qualified, but not in this ruthless tournament.
No, not in this new Super League that you've created.
Yeah, the directors of the Boost and the Cadbury's Caramel have had to step down from the board in the wake of the fans' rejection of it.
People outside news agents are going mental across the country, like, yeah, trying to break in.
Do you know, it was actually quite hard to find 32 chocolate bars. You think it would be easy, and then you know you're scraping the bottom of the barrel when you have things in your group like Caramac or whatever.
Ooh,
and,
right, yeah.
Well, I thought the Nestle Crunch was a bit of a... Oh, Time Out. That was another one that was a sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel entrant. But
quite good, though.
Yeah, definitely. But I was surprised the Nestle Crunch won its group. So, yeah, we've got Crunchy versus Milky Bar. What would you do in that instance?
Crunchy, I think.
Okay, and Nestle Crunch versus Snickers.
I mean, that's difficult because I think Snickers is an obvious one, but actually... I did go through a period of really liking a Nestle Crunch.
Okay, do you know, I think in all my years, I can honestly say, I don't think I've had a Nestle Crunch.
I weirdly think, I'm trying to think back to when that time was that I liked them, and I think it was around the time that I was at drama school, and I think, I just bought one once, and was like, God, that's underrated. And, yeah, turns out, it's not underrated, it's in the quarterfinals.
It's rated, yeah, definitely. It's in the top eight.
I can't believe none of the Galaxy bar. Like,
I know. Did
you have a Ripple?
Yeah, Ripple was there. Flake was there. Twirl. Yeah, they've all gone by the wayside.
Unbelievable.
And then there was a random draw to set up these quarterfinals. And, yeah, that's just what's happened. So
you do love a tournament, don't you?
I definitely do love a tournament, yeah. I'm glad you've appreciated that over the years. listen, I could talk to you all night, Dave, but I should probably get on with the rest of the show. One thing I didn't tell you is there is no tangible prize for taking part in Bic Lol, but you do get to introduce the next track on the station. If you want to, which is fabulous.
Absolutely.
It's and just to let you know, the next track is the Bee Gees and You Should Be Dancing. So, you know, you've been fabulous. I'm only saying that because a couple of people I've said, you can introduce the next track, it's going to be this. Then we chat for a bit and I go, right, introduce it then. And they go, what was it again?
It's all right, I'm on it.
The Bee Gees, You Should Be Dancing. But yeah, I know, you come from a performance background. I know it's no worries for you, you know.
Yeah.
So, but thanks so much for taking part, mate. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for your football knowledge and your chocolate bar knowledge.
No worries. Chocolate bar knowledge is far too serious.
Well, for everyone on Phoenix FM right now, it's over to Dave Jackson Mayo to introduce the next track.
Okay, and coming up now is the Bee Gees with You Should Be Dancing.
Keep it warm. community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was indeed the Bee Gees and You Should Be Dancing, expertly introduced by the fabulous David Jackson Mayo there, residing in Southend, but tuning in over the airwaves, I'm sure. His family were rooted to their radios and computers to hear his Bic Lol performance there, and he did well. He definitely didn't disgrace himself. A solid mid-table finish with a total of, what was it again, -2,318, puts him in sixth place on the Bic Lol league table. So maybe he qualifies for Europe with that. I never mentioned that to him, but he's in the Bic Lol Europa League next season. So well done, David. Thank you so much for taking part once again. Now then, we've got just 30 minutes left to go. I've got to tell you the results of the Chocolate Bar World Cup quarter-final one then. Now, David there did say he would have gone for a boost. Quarter-final one was Boost versus Fry's Chocolate Cream. I've intimated how much I love a Fry's Chocolate Cream. I could eat five of them straight off, you know, no problems whatsoever. And unfortunately, I've been let down by the voters. The Fry's Chocolate Cream has exited the tournament at the quarter-final stage. The Boost has made it through with 60% of the vote. Fry's Chocolate Cream just 40%. Huge thanks to everybody that voted. But just before I came on the air, the second quarter-final has gone live. And that alone is what you can vote on for the next week in the run-up to next week's show of the show that goes like this. Shockingly, in the early voting, there have been a few votes come in. Could it be a whitewash? Quarterfinal two is the Dairy Milk Caramel versus the Mars Bar. At the moment, Dairy Milk Caramel has all the votes. 100% of the votes. Mars Bar, nothing. If you want to change that, you need to get yourself on Twitter at BenSimRadio. That is where you can find the poll. Dairy Milk Caramel versus Mars Bar, quarter final two of the Chocolate Bar World Cup. But the Boost is our first semi-finalist. So that's very exciting. Boost has gone through, and then quarter final two is now there for you to vote on for the next week. Share the poll, retweet it, you know. Comment with a tweet. Do whatever you want. Just get that poll out there. Let's get as many votes as we possibly can. Dairy Milk Caramel, 100% of the vote at the moment. Mars Bar, distraught right now. But it could all change before next week's show. You know, you get that poll out there, enough people vote upon it, and who knows, the Mars Bar could come roaring back. Right, let's get another track on, and I'm going to change the musical persuasion momentarily. We have been talking about the fact it was Tap Dance Day and a lot of songs related to dancing, but did you know the 25th of May is also Towel Day? Yes, Towel Day. Wow. The day we all enjoy towels and what they do to us. They dry things ourselves, tea towels, dry crockery, other kinds of towels dry other kinds of things. Terry towels? I've seen terry towels in stores as well. Don't know why that suddenly occurred to me. But because towels dry things, here's Amy Winehouse, whose tears don't need a towel. They dry on their own.
All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know and this regret I've got accustomed to. Once was the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we could snatch. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility, and you don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks away, the sun goes down, he takes the day. Do I stress the man when there's so many real things at hand? We could have never had it all. We had to hit a wall. So this is inevitable withdrawal. Even if I stop wanting you,
perspective pushes through. I'll be some next man's other woman, so I can't play myself again. Should just be my own best friend. Now I put myself in the head with stupid man. He walks away, the sun goes down, he takes the day. Ain't no regrets and no most of no day. Cause as we kiss goodbye, the sun sets. So we are history. The shadow covers me. The sky above the place, lonely lovers see. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Tears Dry on Their Own by Amy Winehouse on this 25th of May, Towel Day. Enjoy your towels more than any other day of the year. Today it's the correct day to do a bit of towel enjoying, whatever the heck that means. Now, we were talking before BitClole about celebrity football fans, and I did mention two of my lovely listeners have done some exhaustive research on my behalf and shared with me an awful lot of celebrities and the football teams they support. So huge thanks to Barbara Ferry and Paul Milton, who've compiled the following list I'm going to read out on the air. Well, should we do it in two bits? It's a very long list. So we'll have a track in the middle. Anyway, if I've said them already, I'll leave them out. But some of these you might find surprising. Daniel Day-Lewis, Millwall fan. That surprised me. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, Wolves fan. That has surprised me. Sylvester Stallone, Everton fan. There we go. Wowzers. I'm sure many people know Sir Elton John is a big Watford fan, has been their chairman. Don't think he is now. Is he still on the board? I'm not sure. Maybe an honorary member. But Watford fan, Elton John. Steve Davis, Rangers and Southampton. Very possibly, apparently. Okay. Delia Smith and Norwich, yes, I'm well aware of that. We can all remember her half-time ranting at one point on a microphone that was very interesting. I like this one, Samuel L. Jackson, Liverpool. I remember that when he was filming The 51st State, which filmed in Liverpool, he became a Liverpool fan. Elijah Wood, West Ham fan. Sir Patrick Stewart, Huddersfield fan. Seems a bit unlikely, but that's where he's from, isn't it? So it makes sense. Kevin Costner, Arsenal fan. Colin Firth, Arsenal fan. Jay-Z, Arsenal fan. There we go. To redress the balance a little bit, Jude Law, Tottenham fan. What else? Dan Walker, BBC Sport presenter, Crawley Town fan. He prefers the lower leagues. Gerard Butler, Hollywood actor, Celtic fan. Catherine Zeta-Jones, Swansea. Now, not sure about this one. Cameron Diaz, Brentford. I can't see that myself. You know, I'm not denying your research. Obviously, it's been stated somewhere. Is it true, though? I'll go with it for now. Cameron Diaz, Brentford fan. Rod Stewart, huge Celtic fan. Yes, I was aware of that. What else? Adele, Spurs fan. Justin Timberlake, Manchester United fan. Let's leave it there. Have a track, digest all the information, and come back shortly. We need another track to sum up towels. What do towels do when you get out of the shower? They wrap you up, don't they? Alex Party sang all about it back in the 90s.
Wrap me up with your love and hold me. Wrap me up.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Alex Party there then, and Wrap Me Up. Okay, let's keep the celebrity football fans coming. Just to keep that information going throughout the next section of the show. There's still more to come. I will recap the Chocolate Bar World Cup and what's going on. There's quite a few more tracks still to squeeze in. There's more of my football stats if you want them. So don't go anywhere. Show that goes like this right up until 8 o'clock tonight. And then after me, Rob Harvey with Synth City. After that, Steve Davis of Snooker fame is in with the interesting alternative show. Have you been watching that series on BBC? It's available on iPlayer as well, Gods of Snooker. Really, really interesting. You forget now, don't you? Because it's sort of not fallen by the wayside, but become less prominent a sport as it used to be. You forget how huge it was in the 80s, early 90s, even 70s as well, I guess. the World Championship Snooker Tournament. I was watching Gods of Snooker last night, the second episode. I think three have aired now, but we watched the second one last night, which focused momentarily on Steve Davis versus Dennis Taylor, 1985, the final. It ended up on one black ball. They were completely level. Does everybody remember that? It was brilliant. Really interesting series. Heartily recommended by me. Speaking of that, celebrity football fans, John Virgo is a Manchester United fan. John Parrott is an Everton fan. Here's a few I didn't know. Jess Glynn is an Arsenal fan. A-ha, the band, a Stoke City fan. Phil Collins, Tottenham fan. You want information on royalty? Prince Harry, Arsenal fan. Apparently the Queen, now, really, I'm not sure about this, but the Queen, West Ham fan, but has a soft spot for Arsenal, it's been reported. Prince Charles is a Burnley fan. Don't know how that's happened. Kate Middleton is a Chelsea fan. Now that makes sense. What else can we share? Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson, Crystal Palace fan. Hugh Laurie is a Fulham fan. That's interesting. David Hasselhoff, Man City fan. Again, that's one of those that makes me want to go, really? But yeah, David Hasselhoff, Man City. Stephen Fry, Norwich fan. I knew that. But did you know this? Hugh Jackman, Norwich fan. Apparently, also Andy Murray supports Arsenal. Boris Johnson, well, according to the exhaustive research, Boris Johnson supports all of West Ham, Chelsea and Tottenham. Is he just hedging his bets because he was London mayor? He hasn't said anything about QPR or Fulham, has he? Or even Watford at a stretch. Or Palace. West Ham, Chelsea and Tottenham for old Bojo. What else? Ronnie O'Sullivan is an Arsenal fan. We're hitting the snooker players quite hard here. So, yeah, there probably is an almost exhaustive list of celebrity football fans discovered by Barbara Ferry and Paul Milton. Thank you both of you to the work you put in for that. Let's have some more music, though. Alex Party took us back to the 90s and was a song loosely linked to towels. What else is loosely linked to towels? What are towels made out of? Cotton. Here's Rednecks. I'm really not sorry.
If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? We'll be right back. come from Cotton Eye Joe.
Phoenix FM.
So that was Rednecks and Classic 90s there with Cotton Eye Joe. We're going to go back even further with the next track. But thanks again to everybody that sent in examples of celebrities and the football teams they support. I found that very interesting. I did say I'd remind you of the Chocolate Bar World Cup information I shared whilst we were doing BitClaw and just after as well. So just to confirm, the quarterfinals have been drawn now. Boost versus Fry's Chocolate Cream, Caramel versus Mars Bar, Crunchy versus Milky Bar and Nestle Crunch versus Snickers. And the voting took place this week for quarterfinal one, Boost versus Fry's Chocolate Cream. And the Boost has edged it 60% to 40%. Boost goes through to the semi-final. Quarter-final two, voting now open for a week on Twitter, Caramel versus Mars Bar. Get your votes in at Bensim Radio on Twitter. And I have got, well, during lockdown and before lockdown, I filmed a lot of comedy sketch videos. During lockdown, I edited a lot of them and started getting them ready for social media. Over the last few weeks, I've been putting them on my social media. So on my Ben Simmons radio page, on my personal Ben Simmons page, for the double act I do with my dad, Simmons and Simmons, that's on Twitter and Facebook as well. I've even crazily gone very, very modern in the last week and started a TikTok channel, Benny Simo on TikTok, which if you know your classic languages, you'll understand why it's called that, Benny Simo. But yeah, so you can even find me on TikTok. But there are a series of sketches I'd draw your attention towards. Simmons and Simmons Life Hacks, where my dad and I help you through life with a series of very short videos on various topics so far, such as travelling throughout Europe. There's one on surviving in the wilderness. There's ones on how to vote if you're a floating voter. And just have a look on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter for Simmons and Simmons Life Hacks, but they're heartily recommended. Obviously, they're recommended by me because I'm in them. But have a look there as well if you fancy a bit of entertainment and you're just scrolling on your phone and looking for something to amuse you. Have a go. Okay, let's have another track. I said we go back further than the 90s. Let's go back to the late 80s with the Bangles. Why are we playing the Bangles? Related to towels. I said towels are made of cotton. What's a lovely type of cotton? Egyptian cotton.
Phoenix FM.
Well, I've given myself almost a minute to sum up the entire show, so I had to break off from the bangles slightly early there. But not to worry, huge thanks to everybody. Hope you've enjoyed the show that goes like this tonight. We've focused on Geek Pride Day, National Tap Dance Day and Towel Day, very excitingly. There's been a lot of football information throughout this show as well. Big thanks to Dave Jackson Mayo, big Chelsea fan, for his football knowledge and his performance in Bicklol. Big thanks to everybody who's tuned in, and in particular to Barbara Ferry and Paul Milton for their exhaustive research on celebrities and the football teams they support. Prince Charles and Burnley, Snoop Dogg and Burnley. They're all incredibly unlikely, aren't they? But anyway, apparently it's true. Thanks for being here. I'll be back again same time next week. Remember, Rob is up next with Synth City after the news at 8. So don't go anywhere. To play us out, for no reason whatsoever other than I like him, and he's probably worn a towel at some point in his life. Towels are often white. White cotton. Egyptian cotton. Here's Barry White. See you next week.